today we are looking at who is the greatest in the church of God. Amen. Matthew Gospel chapter 1. Who is the greatest? I think we should know, right? As we are seated here right now, who is the greatest? Is it the pastor? Is he in the children's church? Who is the greatest? Matthew Gospel 1 verse 1. Are you there now? I'm not there myself, but I can read it, but I don't want to read it. So turn there and read together. Once you go, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I told you, every time you see a writer start this way, he expects, that means he has placed an expectation on you. And the expectation is that you have read the books before this. By mentioning David and Abraham, Matthew expects that you have read Genesis to Malachi. So, you don't just say Matthew. Oh, I'm reading the book of Matthew. The context of Matthew is the words of the prophet. The context of Matthew is David. He says, this book is the book of the Genesis. The word generation there is the word Genesis, the beginning, the genealogy. This book is going to talk about Jesus Christ. But guess what? He is the son of David. So I expect that you have read David. He's the son of David, the son of Abraham. So an expectation is already upon us to find out. So what we call the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, is the context of Matthew. So the understanding of Jesus' words will be found in those books. You see the same thing in Mark 1. So that means we cannot have the ministry of Jesus without those books that we call the Old Testament. In Mark 1, verse 1, you see Mark also starting the same thing. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning, the Genesis of the gospel of Jesus, the Son of God. You find John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. They all kept alluding to a beginning. A context we must not forget. Is that making sense? And one of the things we are going to find in what we call the Old Testament, again, I believe Grace has taught you know better. One of the things we are going to find in those books is, questions. Now, I don't like asking questions. Let me see hands. You like asking questions. Now, when I was in school, I almost said high school. There's no high school in Nigeria. Secondary school. Right? The one that they call high school self, the idea of the Okota High School. What's high about this school? Alright. Just kidding, you know. If you went there. Is there anyone that attended that school? Yeah. Okay. I didn't offend anybody. But, okay, you don't want to raise your hand. I'm sorry. But there's nothing high about the school, sir. Alright, so, I wanted to go and vote there the last time, the last election. That was last year. When I saw the way they are doing it, I took my voter's card and went back. You can abuse me all you want, but I'm living here to preach the gospel today because I did not stay. Amen. I just discovered that people were injured and all of that. Alright, that's. Now, when I was in secondary school, I was part of the student that don't ask questions. I don't. In fact, even in the university, I don't like lecturers knowing my name. I believe it's a trap. It's a setup. You know, so I was part of the fellowship ESCOS, the departmental fellowship. So we went to one of the lecturer's office one day. So she just said, Adeshinyo, what are you looking for in my office today? So she saw the look on my face and said, you think I don't know you? Does your matric number not end with 21? And so this lecturer, so she can actually pass me in all the courses if she wants. She knows my matric number. She said, your middle name. This one knows me very well. I don't think my dad even remembers my middle name. You know, that's one of the reasons why I don't ask questions. Aboro, no, what Aboro say, what's your own name? So, but there are students that are go-go Christians, go-go students. I say, yeah, Christians. You know, any little thing. Ma, you forgot to explain. Can't we just go back to the other day? You know, so I might even like asking questions. I'm not part of them, but you like asking questions. Now the hands have reduced. So good. Generally, apart from school, how many of you like asking questions? A lot. Okay. Okay, good. You know, one of my teachers used to say, if you don't ask questions, it's either you understand everything that's been said, or you don't understand anything that is being said. So it's two things. It's either you understand everything that was taught, that means you don't have questions, or you don't understand anything that was taught, meaning that you have to ask questions. And Jesus asked questions. Jesus asked questions a lot. And we are going to ask a question this morning. Matthew 18:1. Don't forget the context. He said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Matthew 18. Are you there? Verse 1. Can we all read together? Want to go? At the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Amen. Now these are Jesus' students, his disciples, his church members. And they are asking, who is the greatest? And Jesus does not say, shut up, there's nothing like that. How you be asking who is the greatest? Jesus answered them. Because the prophet also mentions great people or greatness. Now, in humanity, we make comparisons. Who is the greatest footballer, for example? I beg to say Ronaldo. Now, I've seen people say Pele. I didn't watch him play at all. I have clips. I've seen clips. I didn't watch Pele play at all. If you watch Pele play, I don't know. Maradona, I don't think I saw much of him. We didn't have TV like that. But I saw two guys, Ronaldo and Messi. If you believe Messi is the greatest of all time, let me see your hands. Okay. Now I've marked your faces now. If you believe Ronaldo is the greatest of all time, let me see your hands. God bless you. Good. I didn't mention anyone, I just said God bless you. Now, you have people say, one has won the World Cup, one did not win the World Cup. Shut up, you don't know what greatness means. And with this teaching, you will never argue it again. You will never use that. Alright, so who is the greatest coach? Who is the greatest football club? I believe Arsenal is the greatest football club. We are not. Yet. It takes something for a club to go an entire season and you are not beaten. You didn't lose a game. I mean, people were coming, they will prepare in their stadium and say, today we are going to break it, and you still win. That's something. No club has ever done it. I don't think any club will ever do it. So we go with the greatest. I was talking to someone some years ago. No, I think it was last year. Yeah, I think it was last year. So the person was talking to me about is one of my friends, female. Who is the greatest tennis player? I believe he's still Federer. You see? He said Djokovic or whatever his name is called. I don't know. He says he's amassing things. He's almost beating. Forget that nonsense. It's still Federer. Eh? Nadal. It's still Federer. You know, so we argue who is the greatest. Who is the greatest musician? Who is the greatest writer? Who is the greatest this? Who is the greatest that? Does the Bible also tell us who is the greatest in the church of God? Yes, it does. So the Bible too does not shy away from comparison. I mean, it means God compares. That's how I say God compares. Yeah, God does. He wants us to meet up with something, with standards. So when God calls something the greatest, we need to pay attention, I think. Now the word great in the Hebrew, there are two words used for great. Is that you use the word gadol, G-A-D-O-L, or use the word rab, R-A-B. Now look at Job 1. Job chapter 1. Are you there? Alright. Job chapter 1 verse 3. I'll start in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. That man was perfect and upright. The one that feared God. He eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 children. His substance was 7,000 sheep. Now, the way Old Testament, Hebrew used thousands. It's not the way we count thousands now. It's totally different. The armies of Israel, or the number of Israel was about 144,000. The way the Bible actually counts thousands is way different from the way we number thousands now, but that's not for today. Alright, 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East, Gadol. The man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So he calls Job greatest. Now, why was he great? Because he was known and he was wealthy. So he was the greatest because he had substance. But look at Exodus 11. And you see a contrast, almost a total contrast. So Job was called great because he had stuffs. You know those people in your family that when there's big family expenses, they wait for them before the meeting starts. It was called great because he had things like that. Exodus 11. Don't worry, you'll be great too. Yeah. That's the kind of prayer you're saying. Exodus 11, verse 3. And the Lord gave people favor in the sight, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Now, he calls Moses great. Why? Because God was with him. He said, God caused favor to come upon Moses and the Israelites, and Moses was very great in the eyes of Pharaoh, was very great in the eyes of the Egyptians. So, Moses was called great. Was it because he was wealthy? Both of us know that Moses did not have shinbein. What's shinbein? It's not an Hebrew word. Shinbein means he does not have money. Doesn't have anything. It's not like he has substance. No. He was called great because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. 2 Samuel 5. You are going to open quite a number of scriptures, so be ready for that. I believe when you're coming to church, you know you're going to open the Bible. Except you came with the Quran. 2 Samuel. For the Lord our God is mighty. Chapter 5. Verse 10. I'll start verse 9. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built around about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great. And the Lord of hosts was with him. So why was Moses great? David great? Because the Lord of hosts was with him. Right? Esther. Chapter 9. Remember Esther? The queen? The woman that made you think that she'd be doing beauty pageant. Esther chapter 9. Verse 4. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai, waxed greater and greater. Why was Mordecai great? Because he stood for God's people. He sided with Israel in the palace. Alright, so he calls him great. In Jeremiah 27, are we together? Jeremiah 27, verse 7. And all the nations will serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. So he calls this person great. Now, why? Because the person is going to have influence. People will serve the person. Right? So greatness has to do with influence. Now, so that we have seen two kinds of greatness right now. In the prophets, or in the Old Testament, I would call it. Number one, we have seen people that are great because of wealth, right? What they have not. Or what they have, probably put, not what they have not. Right? So we've seen people great because of what they have. Then two, we've seen people great because the Spirit of God was upon them. That's David. That's Moses. Mordecai was because of his service. Right? So we have seen almost, yeah. So we have seen God's kind of greatness. We have seen the natural greatness, and they don't contradict each other. Right? So, does God promise greatness? Look at Genesis 12. So, I've seen those that are great because of wealth, and those that are great because of the Lord. In Genesis 12, God called Abraham out. In Genesis 12 verse 1, and this is the scripture some people are using. They say they want to go out of the country. Now, the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country. Now, since someone called this for me, he said, we can share morning devotion. See, I did not even plan, I didn't even have it in my mind. I was just going through morning devotion. That scripture just came to me, Genesis 12. I said, what's there? What's there? Why are you lying? You know what's there? He said, what's there? What's there? Genesis 12. I just went there. The first thing I saw is get out of your country. Hey, I go to Mali. We have a Chad just beside us here. Cameroon. Cameroon is, if you pass, what state is that? Is it Niger? No. Cameroon borders with, Akwa Ibom. Thank you. That's who is from Akwa Ibom here? You. Uh-huh. Any other person? Wow. Where, how many places are you from? You said Ikurewe last week. Now you are from Akwa Ibom again. Now, go to Cameroon. I've seen people do apostolic visits and all of that. I don't have any issue with it. But nobody has done apostolic visits to Sokoto. Or to Bono, or to Benin Republic. Everybody's going to the UK. It's fine. It's all good. It's all cold. Cute. You know? I said, get out of your country. Say, I don't, the Lord was speaking to me directly. It's as though I heard the voice. Yes, you heard it. Get out of your country. Out of your kindred. What's the next thing? From Akwa Ibom. Eh? From your father's house. Onto a land I will show you. And what did God say verse 2? I will make of thee a great nation. What about that? And I will bless you and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. So we ask the question, we say, does God promise greatness? Yes. Now, the greatness God promised Abraham, was it generational wealth? Was it wealth? No. Abraham was already wealthy. He didn't leave his father's house a poor man. You need to read your Bible very well. Abraham had wealth from the get-go. His father was a very wealthy and influential man. So, what greatness is God promising Abraham? In fact, now, could you argue that he became wealthier? Yes. In Genesis 13 verse 6, the Bible says they had so much possession, Abraham and Lot, that the land where they had could not contain them, so they had to choose, you know. But, what greatness does the Bible talk about? Look at Genesis 15. I told you, I said, we are going to open a lot of scriptures. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. So, Abraham's greatness has to do with God, not money. Don't forget, when God called him out of his father's land or father's house, what did God tell him? I will make you great. I'll be your exceeding great reward. I will make your name great. And God is not telling him here. He said, I am your exceeding great reward. So, Abraham's greatness is because of God, not money. In Genesis 17, verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes he will beget, and I will make him a great nation. Now, what does it mean that Ishmael will be great? He will be influential. Is he influential? I think we know. Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He will become a great and mighty nation. That is, he will become influential. Genesis 26, verse 13. And the man was great and went forward and grew till he became very great. This is talking about Isaac. And this one is talking about money. That is, Isaac kept amassing wealth. He said he became very great. How many of you want to be great? Oh, you don't? It's fine if you don't want it. You want to be great? I want to be great too. You know, in Genesis 1, you don't need to turn there, in verse 6, 16, 21, he speaks about the greater light. He said, the greater light shall rule by the day, the lesser light shall rule by the night. And he was talking about the sun and the moon. And so the Bible talks about great, or greatness. And so far we have seen that greatness has to do with influence. When he says, you will become exceedingly great, of course that has to do with, you'll be able to influence a lot. Interesting. So, was Abraham great in natural affairs? So far that we have looked now. Was Abraham great in the natural?
Good.
Was he great spiritually? Huh? Are there two different greatness? Huh? Can both coexist? Huh? Good. Thank you. Genesis 48. Apologies. Genesis 48 verse 19. Verse 18. And Joseph said unto his father, my father, it's not so, for this is the firstborn. You have put your right hand upon his head. Put your right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know what I'm doing. I know it. He shall become a people, and he shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So he was talking about Ephraim and Manasseh. And he's saying, nah, the younger one will be greater. Don't mind though, the older ones will be great, but the younger one will be greater. Now, the same thing happened to who and who? Eh? Jacob and Esau. Now, the blessing was for whoever gets the blessing will be what? Greater, right? That, and Jacob got the blessing, but Esau was wealthier. Esau had more money. Esau had more cattle. Esau had more land, in case you are just finding out today. Esau was times three wealthier than Jacob. More than three, sha. Way, way wealthier than Jacob. But who received the blessing?
Jacob.
Alright, so it shows you that the blessing, the greatness that was prayed upon Jacob had nothing to do with money. It has to do with influence. Eventually, we now see that Jesus came from Jacob. From the tribe of Judah, which is from Jacob. Alright, so again, greatness will be influence, not wealth to God. It will be how much of influence you can have. A man can have. In Exodus 18, it speaks of God's greatness. Verse 11. His influence. Exodus 18, verse 11. Let me read that out. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they are desperately was above them. The Lord is greater than all gods. What is he saying? Their influence is limited. God's influence is not. For the Lord our God is omnipotent. God's influence is not. Amen. So the Bible is not averse to greatness. The Bible does not negate the fact that a believer can become great. Say, I am great. You believe that? So people can achieve things in their different fields of endeavor. Personally, I tell you guys, strive to be better. Whatever your hands find doing, be better at it. I know people will give excuses in the name of, I'm preaching the gospel, and in the name of, I'm going for outreach, so. They're mediocres at work. You are the Christian, you are the one that is receiving query every week. Today, brother Titus, you did not submit your report. We need to get these emails over to the headquarters. Say, I was praying. And you want to be great. So when the time of promotion comes, they promote everybody. You say your enemies are at work. Your enemies are not at work. They are too late. They don't even have any job to do with you. You are just lazy. If you want to be great, you must learn to put in the shift. You have to put in the work. Alright? So, whatever you are doing, you are in a corporate, you are an entrepreneur, you are a writer, you are a singer, you are an artist, what else are you again? You are a student, what else? Copper are we? Strive to be great. Is that clear? Tell somebody that you say, strive to be great. Say, will you? What's the answer? Huh? Alright. So, God has nothing against you being great in the natural. But that does not translate to the kingdom of God. Did Jesus use the word great? Yes. In Matthew 5, I'm basically laying foundation. The next week, we'll pick it up from there. In Matthew 5, don't forget where we're coming from. His disciples asked Jesus a question. A weird question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What a question. Imagine someone asking, you pastor, who is the greatest in this church? Because I can remember last week I donated money. Who is the greatest? And did Jesus use the word great? He did. Matthew 5, verse 12, I guess. Yeah, the guess is right. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so particularly the prophets that were before you. Great is your reward in heaven. So Jesus, the word great is what polus there, P-O-L-U-S, which is many. From poly, many. Great is your reward in heaven. So the reward in the kingdom of God is also measured. Listen up, guys. Jesus said, great is your reward. That means the rewards are not same. Maybe what brother, who can I use now? What's a great reward here? Brother Chidera. Maybe the reward is great. Maybe it's even greater than what the pastor gets. We don't know. But Jesus said, your reward is great. The great is your reward. So, we can have least and we can have great. In the kingdom of God. Look at Matthew 8. Verse 18. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, that means something enormous. Matthew 15. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you as you will. Great is your faith. So we can have great faith and little faith. Remember I told them, he said, oh you of little faith. So that means we can have great faith and we can have little faith. In Matthew 20, now this one is important. Matthew 20, verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the prince of the Gentiles exercises dominion over them. You know that the prince of the Gentiles exercises dominion over them, that they might exercise great authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your servant. Alright? So just like the prophet, just like the Old Testament, he's saying, greatness in the kingdom of God is not the kind of greatness in the world. Now, in the world, the CEO is the person everybody serves, right? Abi. When he gets to work, everybody does. Monster. You know, monster is even a monster. Monster has more honor. Monster. And everybody's working fast. You know, when you work fast at work, you appear busy. People just think you know what you are doing automatically. You just need to walk fast and frown. Everybody, very busy, staff of the month. And what is he doing? Just walking fast. I've given you tips now. Just walk fast, carry fire, walk fast and frown. You might not be the greatest because eventually you will not get anything done. But you appear busy. You know, so the CEO is the one everybody serves. When he's doing better, everybody wants to bring gifts. When the daughter of the CEO comes, everybody wants to be friends. Maybe somehow that guy gets you promoted to be the greatest. You know, big girl now. Let's go get some things together and let's catch up. Catch up with the 18-year-old. You are shameless. At 40, you are catching up with the 18-year-old. Where do you want to start catch up from? When you are 22? Oh God, you just want to be the greatest. Alright, so, but Jesus said in the kingdom of God, it's not like that. The CEO is a servant. The greatest is the one that serves. So, we're still going to look at all of that. So is there greatness in the world? Yes. Does it negate the greatness in the kingdom of God? No. They can coexist. Look at Mark 10. Mark 10. Are you learning something? We'll soon get to the crux of the matter now. Mark 10 verse 42. But Jesus called them and said unto him, you know that they which are according to the rule of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. So again, I think it's the same thing. In Luke 1. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He shall be great. Now, did Jesus have money? No. Abi, it's not the same Bible we are reading. Sorry, was Jesus wealthy?
No, no, no.
In fact, the prophet already said it before he was born. Okay? This one will not have nothing. If you're expecting a very rich man, he will have nothing. There will be nothing that you see of him that you will like. And everybody likes money. If you don't like money, you're lazy. You'll be lying. You're a liar. We all work for money. Don't say, I work for passion. I just like my job. So why do people strike? I'm a doctor. I like lives. I just like saving lives. It's a lie. The day they don't pay your salary, the month they don't pay your salary, that's when you know that you don't like lives like that. We work for money. Everybody here is working for money. If you don't work for money, don't worry. Just bring your salary to church. And say, I just don't like money. They pay me every month. I've told them to stop this. We, the church of God, will collect it. Amen. And we'll use it for God's glory. You don't have to like money ever. Amen. So we all like money. So if Isaiah says there's nothing about Jesus that we like, apparently he doesn't have money, at least. Amen. But he says, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Why is Jesus great? Because of his influence. If you doubt that he's great, that's why we are here today. Don't call Ronaldo the greatest of all time. That's Jesus. Okay? Calm down. It's not this hard. calm down. Okay. I think that's Mommy Gio. Luke chapter 9 verse 48. And he said unto him, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me. Whosoever shall receive me receives him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be the greatest. So, greatness, so far we have said greatness is what? Come on, I need that to be chorused out. Greatness is what? Influence. So, when you say someone is great in the natural, that means the person has influence. He has influence. What about in the kingdom of God? Influence. So go back to Matthew 18:1. The question. They came to him and he said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? The same thing. Who is the greatest? So, can we say that would be the person that has the most influence? Who has the most influence in the kingdom of God? And there's nothing wrong with pursuing greatness. There's nothing wrong about it. In the natural, you aim for it. But much more, in the kingdom of God, you must aspire to be great. Now, let me just say this one. I'm saying this because Glorious House Church. People have told me before that, you don't celebrate greatness. I don't celebrate greatness. I shake my head because I do a lot. In fact, I have a very, very, very big soft spot for people who are doing well in their fields. I have a big soft spot. I want you to do well. You will do well in Jesus' name. Amen. I like when students are the best in class and they are Christians. Call it anything you want. I want the best engineers to be pastors. I want the best lawyers in church. Amen. I want it. I celebrate it. Now, but the thing that we are going to bring that to church and say, last week, we want to celebrate Sister Ife for being the best soul winner. And then give award. I know that people will do it. I have nothing against it. But Jesus said your reward is in heaven. That's what he said. Amen. 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 Best usher. And you get reward for it and all that. Number one, I'm too small to reward you. There's no church, there's no pastor big enough to give you reward in God's kingdom. One. Number two, why do you want plaques? Now, I have plaques. I have awards that people have given to me. I have one that is best teacher. The funny thing is that one was given in 2016. And I'm wondering now, is now I'm looking at it and I say, what did I teach you? 2016. 8 years ago. I don't teach you anything, no. It's like someone coming back in 2040 and saying, Pastor, and you gave me an award in 2024. Don't waste the award. There will be better teachings. Amen. I'm not even going to listen to the JC Media again. There will be better teachings. But you cannot start rewarding people here. Best soul winner. best giver in the church. We can't do that. Why are you looking for a reward here? Who is the greatest? We could as well give best in prophecy. Sister Okodomio. Amen. You didn't get that. Alright. So, I respect age. I respect social status. If you're a politician, I have respect for you. Naturally, if until I hear that you are embezzling money, I might lose my regard for you really. But, because I believe you're serving people. I believe you're serving, it's a burden. Okay, give me the burden, give me the burden. I want this burden. It's a burden, not to carry millions of people and say, I'm going to represent them at the National Assembly. Well, it's a sweet burden, sir. Amen. Alright, we respect all of that, but when it comes to the kingdom of God, who is the greatest? That's the question. Is it you? Is it about who gives the most? Is it who prophesies the most? Balloon the righteous. Or, is that in Balloon the Righteous? Or Grammy Awards? No. Matthew 18. Who is the greatest? Verse 2 answers it. Are you there now? If you are asleep, say amen. And the church get quiet. Thank you. Alright. Matthew 18 verse 2 now. Can we read together? I want to go. And Jesus called a little child unto him. And set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter. For whosoever shall humble himself as little children, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Hey! So Jesus explains greatness. He says, the great one is the one that becomes a little child. So to become great in the kingdom of God, it means I will be little in my own eyes. Not the one showing off. Not the one showing off. You know, there are people that they intentionally come to church late. So that everybody will have been seated. So that they can smell your perfume. Did I hear that one? Yeah, see, I've been around for a few days. There's probably no trick you know, anybody can pull off. There's no kind of carnality. They have probably nothing. You come late so that when you enter, people can say, you are not the greatest, you are the least in the kingdom of God. That's what Samuel told Saul in 1 Samuel 15. So Jesus said, we are going to go to 1 Samuel 15. Jesus said, if anyone will be the greatest in the kingdom, it will be who? A little child. Interesting. That means the greatest of in the kingdom of God is in the children's church. 1 Samuel 15. Are you there? Verse 16. So the background is Samuel asked Saul, don't offer anything. I'm going to come. I'm going to make the sacrifice and all that. Saul said, no. What are you saying? In verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, and for the people spared with best sheep and the of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord, and the rest you have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And Saul said, say on. You know, there's just something about pride that destroys a man. Speak on. What did the Lord tell you? You're not wondering why the Lord is not speaking to you. Verse 17, and Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you the king of Israel. When you were little in your own eyes, you were made the king. When you were little in your own eyes, you were made the king. Remember, the same Saul is now the one that Samuel wanted to go and anoint David. God said, go and anoint David. Samuel said, God, if Saul sees me, he will kill me. The same Saul that when Samuel said he will be made king, Saul said, I don't want to be king. You know when school fellowship, when they want to make someone president, I have no power of my, he's crying.
I have no power of my own. I surrender to you, Holy Spirit of the Lord. He's crying. Next week, Sunday, you say, my sons and daughters, you will not get power of your own last week. You say, my children in the faith. Children that is, you have children, you that have magic number. You have test. You have test on Tuesday. You are saying your children in the faith. That was Saul. He was crying. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Samuel said, that same guy, God, he will kill me. There's power now. There's influence now. Do you know how much worse it is for Saul? God said it's true. You will tell a lie. When he sees you, say that you want to go and worship. If God is asking someone to lie because of you, your case has passed something. God did not say, Saul, I will undo him. Because I cannot undo him. Lie. Tell a lie. I cannot undo him too. Samuel, as you cannot undo him, I cannot undo him. May God be able to undo you. Yeah. No, there are people like that. God cannot undo them again. When Saul sees you, lie, please. It's forgivable. Samuel told him, he said, when you were little in your eyes, God made you king. Alright? So Jesus says, the greatest among you is the little one. The little one. So, if people are seeing you as big, how should you see yourself? Huh? As little. You have to become a child. The greatness of men is temporary. Remember, the same sword that Nancy is there as great. When David killed Goliath, what happened? The song changed. The psalm changed. It now became Saul has killed 1,000. David has killed 10,000. The greatest of men is fickle. Brogan would say, you must take praises and criticism like chewing gum. You chew it, you don't swallow it. When people praise you, you chew it. Enjoy it. Don't swallow it. Don't ingest it. Don't let it become part of you so much that it now starts influencing your, don't build your head swell. Before, you serve God with simplicity and humility. But since they told you that you are the best singer this church has ever seen. Because a lot of words, you say, hey, I love you, Lord, for your mercy, mercy. So you say, so much anointing when you sang today. So the next time they say you should come and sing again. With what practice? Watch it. Yeah. I love, la. I love you, Lord. Yeah, that's what you're looking at, you like this. We are singing this. I love you, Lord. I love. All this gets to your head and it can destroy you. Amen. Amen. All right. So, the one who will be the greatest among you must be the servant. Matthew 20. Verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, for whosoever be great among you, let it be your servant. So the servant is the greatest. The servant is the greatest. Yeah, I've seen places where people leave the church because they were not made pastors. I've seen where people fight to be pastors. I'm not guessing, I've seen politics to be pastor. You know what I'm talking about. Proper politics. Say, Toba, if you become friends with Baba Ogundele and the family, and Elder Simon, those two, they have rank in church board. Then, you know choir master, his vote. You just see, people are giving you egg, crate of egg, every Sunday. Over the pastor. And you're wondering, is that the greatest in the kingdom of God? So, why did you leave that church? They don't recognize my gifts. I've been there all this while. You know how many prophecies I've given? 10,424 prophecies. How many words of knowledge? 24,000. They don't recognize my gifts. So where are you going to now? Where my gifts is recognizable. Where they honor me. You're not the greatest. Amen. Luke 9. Who is the greatest in the church of God? Luke 9. Verse 46. There arose a reason among them, which of them should be the greatest. So, Luke puts context to it. That means, they were not actually asking who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. They were asking, who among them? Peter looked at Andrew, Andrew looked at James, James looked at John, John looked at... All of them said, who is the greatest among us? All of us cannot just be disciples like this now. Who among us is the greatest? Should that question even pop up? It's not the wealthiest. Jesus said it's the one that acts like a child. Some people in the church want to be known by their wealth. Why were you not in church on Sunday? My car broke down. If your car broke down, so did your brains who break down? Why didn't you just take Marua? Me, pastor. Marua will now drop me. Pastor, look at me. I've looked at you. So pastor, what do you see? Human being. Mortal. With the breath of God in his nostrils. What else should I see? You know, say, look into my eyes. What do you see? White and black. Am I meant to see something else? Like fire? You don't see love. I don't see love. I see white and black. A bit brown. So they join Disney. Hallelujah. Why were you not in church? I just went to make this. Why didn't you go for outreach? The sun was much. And my skincare routine does not allow me that skincare. Let me see what I'm not meant to say. Amen. The children of God don't do that. They don't do that. There is someone that should see you, and that's the Lord. Who is the greatest? The one who is a child. Money must not get into your head. Or status. There are people here that if they start paying you 1 million naira per month. Someone, as I say 1 million naira, someone smiled. some people, that's not money. But let's just assume. So they pay you 1 million naira per month. So next service, you just come. You just say, we have a meeting. At a minimum. Now, if it does not get to your head, something is wrong. You should, normally, at first, when your status go up, it gets to your head. Normally. So don't blame yourself for that. Is that okay? Is that okay? I remember the first time I made a million. I started walking differently. The way I was walking in the shopping mall was different. I saw the milk of 1,000. I did not take it. I went for the one of 3.5. I said, it's peak milk I like. I started getting new apple. I said, it's peak milk I'll take. I don't take another milk. Amy. I didn't take 3-in-1. I don't need milk. He said, what's the point of milk? 3-in-1, put it together. Milk, sugar, everybody's, all the gifts. Diversity is in one. I started saying, peak milk, then I don't take I take Milo. Because money has come. So, there's a natural tendency that it gets to you. But it must not affect the way you see yourself in the kingdom of God. Usher now tells you to sit somewhere and say, no, I have to sit where the fan is. You know, there's eat in this church. greatest. Ronaldo, Rolo. Now you're looking for where there's fun. You are not serious. You cannot even join the works team. The what we call works team. It's not ministry of works. Works team are those who help us with the sweeping, the arranging, the toilets. Some people cannot. They don't. They feel it's bigger than them. Why not, Pastor? Let's just I can contract it to a cleaning agency. With all due respect, by the Spirit of God, I tell you I'm at. Clean agency. For what? The issue is not the money. So what's your service? Say, if I cannot go, my money will go. Your money will perish with you. You must go, and your money must go. That is the kingdom of God. That's what Simon told Peter. He said, yeah, give me this thing, so that when I also put it, I'll give you money. When I also lay my hands, people can see. Peter said what? So it's not my own words. Your money perish with you.
mean that you perish, no? It's just about whether the man will perish with you. And I choose that it will perish with you. You don't serve God with money primarily. You serve God, and then your money serves God with you. Who is the greatest? He's not the wealthiest. Who is the greatest? He's not the celebrity. I don't care if you are a king. I don't care if you are the governor. You are not the greatest in the house of God. And until that translates to your service. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me this morning? Because your income has increased now. Show that is up. You say, let's leave our hands and bless the Father. So, I can't just... Yeah. Before, you that when you are looking for work, if they say leave hands, you leave more than hands, self. Now, it's just... So let's bow our knees, let's... So, no, this material is a bit costly. Your money has got into your head. Because now you're a TikToker. Whatever that is. New professions are emerging. What do you want to become? A TikToker. So your career starts with a ring light. And ends with a ring light. Absolutely cute. Alright, so... You're a TikToker now because you now have more followers than JC Media. You have more views than JC Media. More downloads than JC Media. The pastor doesn't even have followers. Probably I have 12. I'm kidding. You don't even need to. What do you need my account for? I don't post anything there. There's no point following me. And there's no point me following you. Yeah, it's just useless. Because I'm not going to post anything. The thing I'm going to post, you see it on church page. So you just go and follow church page. So you have more followers than pastor. So why should he instruct you? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? The one whose heart is not here. The one who is little in his heart. He says the child must become a child. Not the one who shoulders are up. In your head, you are just saying it to yourself. There are even sisters. The moment you get married, you have become the greatest in the kingdom of God. You think marriage is an achievement. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it is. However you want to classify it, classify it. I really don't care. But why do you think you have achieved something now that you're married? So greet 10 people in church. So you go with your left hand so that they can see the ring. Hi. Hi. Hi, you're welcome. Did God give you an extra Holy Spirit when you got married? No. So why are you flashing the ring? Amen. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? It's not the proud. It's not the proud. Amen. Pray for me as a close. You know, before you always run to church. You attended every service. You attended your cell meetings. You did your prayer groups. Now it appears like the money is there. The fame is there. You know, you just got a job in a bank now. You just got a job in a, maybe in high company. Not as attendant too. It's all company. It's like Pamoy, not Pamoyelo. You know. Renewable energy. Now you're feeling fly. Your head, you're singing to yourself. You are great, you are great. Everything about me is great. So fine. But there's something the devil wants from you. He wants you to be proud. That way it's easy to destroy you. And there's something God will have you do. Is to bring yourself low. He said he will exalt the humble. And he will resist the proud. May you not get to a place where God resists you. You know, it's easy to be respectful when you don't have money. Just saying, you know. I know what I'm saying. When you don't have influence, it's easy to be respectful. There's this brother like that. I used to teach him God's word many years ago. I used to teach him. You would do like this, man of God. I love that. And suddenly he became a man of God too. You understand? He used to teach on campus and all of that. I said, whoa. One time he just messaged me on Facebook. I think I put my picture on Facebook or something. That's many years ago. If I tell you I put my picture on Facebook, so that's many years ago. And he said, fine boy. How you did, man? I said maybe his account was hacked. Because of Bieda, he's not someone that can see me face to face and call me fine boy. Why is he weary? Which one is fine boy? I was shocked. And for him to confirm that he's serious with what he said, he came to my DM. Said, nice pics. Washiri. I said, do you check the account you own? Zaya. And the first thing is, okay, you now have people to call in you pastor. You know, there are pastors that if you call them brother, they vex. Why? Are you a sister? Are you a brother? Because they gave you DK now. Anyway, I call you sister. Sister Dami. He said, no. Dickiness. Like say if God wants to talk to you, call you Dickiness. Ejumo Jesu. My honorable Dickiness. That's just what you want to hear. That's pride. It leads to destruction. It makes you the least in the kingdom. Don't forget where you're from. So that means there is comparison in the kingdom of God. God has compared people already. He said, there will be the greatest among you, and there will be the least in the kingdom. You know, when it came to him about John, he said, there's no man born out of a woman that is greater than John in the kingdom. There's no man born out of a woman that is greater than John. That means Jesus already put John somewhere, and every other person will have to fall below. Gabriel, yes, he's the least in the kingdom of God. See, there's comparison. 7 is greatness. So, there are 2 ways the Bible mentions that a man can be great in the kingdom. The number one is to be little in your eyes. To always be little in your eyes. Now, growing up, I'm going to say growing up because I'm still growing. I think I'll still be growing until I'm about 18, 19, I'll still be growing. So when I was much younger, my mom used to pray a prayer for me. And, I think I have an idea what she's saying, but I might not have the full picture. She used to say, Oni Jora Eloju. That would be, you will never be too big in your own eyes. And God sees my heart. She prayed a prayer that I can count more than 50 times. That I can count. In my presence. So I know it's something that she must have been doing. And probably she saw something. I was that kid that did not fear anybody. I was that kid that did not care really. You can talk about me and everything. I will not give a hoot. I will not even be like I see you. So maybe she felt that might lead to pride and self-confidence. In fact, when I was in primary 5, my teacher, what's his name? Uncle Said. I forgot his name, Said or something. He wrote in my report card, you are too self-confident. This is overconfident or something. He asked me that, what position will I take? I said first. Should I say 10? I said first. But that time I took third. I had never taken third. I'm not sure he puts me in third. I'm saying it. I'll probably take second. I'm just saying it. You know, but I got to, he said, too overconfident. So maybe my mom saw all of that, and she used to pray that prayer. You will never be too big in your own eyes. And I pray for myself now. Now that's just no more. I've taken it home to pray for myself. Because it destroys. That was the downfall of Saul. He was big in his eyes. He has arrived. Well, who else has arrived apart from the first king of Israel? He's the first king of Israel. The one everybody calls the representative of God among them. He's the resident of the gods. Saw God big, but God made him small. I pray that you are great in the natural. That what you put in your hands prospers. That you multiply in folds, in thousand folds. In the things you do, your business will grow. You know, your career, you blows up. But never let it stand in the way of spiritual greatness. Take away pride. There is nothing you have that was not given to you. Even your name. Your first birth was given to you. Your last birth will be given to you. You will not have any choice about it. There's nothing to be proud of. There is nothing to swell over. He that will be the greatest among you must be like a child. Let your attitude never change, regardless of whatever you amass, regardless of whatever you make, regardless of whatever position you are. Oh, now you have influence all over the place. Now you make so much money. And you feel that should translate to automatically in the church. They should put you beside the pastor. You know, you understand? Pastor, I make $100 million per month. What are you teaching that I cannot teach? $100 million. What can $100 million not teach? My seat should be here. The ushers, when they see you, they should come and carry your bag from your car. Say, you're welcome, sir. No, it does not. No matter how much you make, just see our brother and sister. That's it. You want something more? Then you have to serve in the house of God. You have to be great. Amen. The second thing he said, whoever will be the greatest among you must be your servant. Must be your servant. Service. Those who put aside all they have and bring themselves low to serve. Say, those are the greatest in the house of God. Who are the greatest in this church right now as we sit? They are those who are serving us. Those who, you know, there are people who come here on Saturdays. And then they clean up. They sweep everywhere. They mop everywhere. They ensure that everywhere is conducive. They come early. Still tidy up, do everything. Put on the air conditioner. Ensure that we are well seated. The music team comes Saturdays. I've been privileged to attend some of their rehearsals. You know, they stay late to the night. Just preparing and all of that. And then someone comes on Sunday morning and then you're sitting and you say, this chair is not really that comfortable. Big chair while I leave there. When you're coming, bring couch. They put it at the back, sit. Nobody's going to stop you. But to think that greatness equals your financial status, that's anti-gospel. That's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches that the greatest among us, right here, I'm going to see that next week. We talk about what did God make man to be. God made man to be a servant. I'm going to see. The true identity of the new creation is a man who serves others. Who tends the garden of God? The first thing God gave man said, you must now tend the garden. You must now tend the garden. So you ask yourself, am I serving? Am I serving in the house of God? What am I doing to make the church better? What am I doing to ensure that people are also, what is my service? Or do I just show up? No. Things must change. Whatever, how little. Even if it's to print the article of the week. Even if it's to get something for the children in church. Even if it's to, you know, just find something. I got one of the things I saw my dad do as a younger person. And I took it. I was probably 12, 11. The keyboard is in the church. You know, there are things that your children just take note of and you don't know. I saw my dad talking to carpenter and he said that he wanted to make a chair for him. You know, that apparently, he saw that they used to stack chairs for the keyboardists. So, he called the carpenter and said, they should make chair, make it foamy and all that. I saw that. I took it. My dad might not be your typical pastor and prophet.
But I saw that. That is service. Looking for what you can do for the house of God. That's how you become great. To serve, to not see yourself as the biggest. You know, there are people who walk in here, I might not be here, right? Just feel. First class graduate. Can you capture? It does not matter in the kingdom of God whether you're a first class graduate or ninth class graduate, if there's anything like that. There's nothing like that, really. It does not matter in the church of God whether you are a doctor or you're not. We will never address anybody in this church. Hear me again. It will never happen. The day where we say doctor something, it will not happen. We don't do that here. We don't do engineer. Because we are all brothers and sisters. Like, I want it, and I know it will happen, that we'll have the governor of the state in the Glorious House Church by God's grace. So go into politics. Amen. I want it. Be great. But even when you're governor, okay, your security will sit down. And if you don't have Bible, I'll send them out. I've said it before. You can mark my words. If you like the king, you now think that one person has stand behind you with staff, nibble in the church. Oh, that staffer, sit down with your Bible. If you don't want the Bible and you don't feel like you are a Christian yet, you want to perish, go out. Wait for your king, who is our brother in Christ. James says there's no respecter of persons with God. God does not see a doctor. He sees a Christian who should be growing spiritually, who should be praying, who should be influencing nations with the gospel. That's what God sees. That's what we see. Who is the greatest in the church of God? The one who serves. The one who is willing to put everything aside and serve others. I've told you this story before. There was a businessman conference, Christian businessman conference, and there was this brother. He was the regional manager of a very big company in Nigeria. And very big company. Imagine being a regional manager. That means it's like Southwest, the entire Southwest. Imagine a company like Access Bank. And this Southwest regional manager. So he had a roommate in that conference. And every time the roommate, every morning, the roommate would have ironed his clothes, fetch him water, because he has to go and fetch water outside. Fetch water and say, so that they can prepare together early and all that. So at the last day of the conference, he said, you have been so good to me, sir. Your humility. So I want to reward you. This is my card. Feel free to message me anytime. So the man saw it. Said, you are the regional manager of... Wow. That's beautiful. That's great. And that. Say, I work in the same company. Say, wow. I can see to your promotion. Say, no, I don't think so. The man is the one in charge of the continent. He's the one out of the entire Africa for the company. And you are just Southwest Nigeria. And he kept short, wondering how such a man can serve him like that. That's what the gospel is about. It's not about your position. When you get to that door, you drop your CEO. When you get to that door, you drop your doctor. You drop your engineer. You drop whatever. You drop the fact that you are now a celebrity. Quotes. You now have people liking you. You have a stan. People that stan you. You have people that fight for you on social media. When you get to the door, you drop it. You put on the cloak of the believer in Christ. It's the cloak of humility. Here, no one is greater than each other. The greatest, however, is the one that serves us the most. Are you blessed?